Now that brings us now to the second division here. Chapter 2, and I go back to my timetable of the book of Jonah. In chapter 1, he left Israel. His destination was Nineveh, but he landed in the fish. And now chapter 2, he's going to leave the fish. Of course, his destination is still Nineveh, and he'll land on the dry land. But we want to see the experience that this man now has inside of the fish. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Now, immediately, someone is going to say to me, you believe that Jonah was dead inside of the fish and that God raised him from the dead. I certainly believe that. But somebody's going to say, it says Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. That means he was alive inside of the fish. It sure does. But my question is, when did Jonah pray that prayer? Did he pray this prayer that we have here? Did he pray it when he first got into the fish? In other words, when the fish swallowed him and finally he went flop down in the tummy of the fish, is that when he prayed it? Or did Jonah, after he got inside the fish, did he say to himself, well, I'm really here in a precarious position, and things sure don't look good for me. So I want to prepare a prayer that will send to God, and he'll hear and answer it. And so Jonah decided that he would write out his prayer. And he worked on it for a couple of days. Then on the third day, he memorized it, and then he gave the prayer. Now, if he did that, then my interpretation of this is all wrong. I'm all wet, if you please. Jonah got wet also, but I get wet too if he waited that long. But my friends, if I know human nature at all, I don't think he waited very long to pray that prayer. When that man found himself in the condition he's in, we're going to see what it was. You can be sure of one thing, that he immediately went to prayer before God. He prayed. In fact, I think he prayed on the way down, and the time he got to the fish's tummy, it was time for amen. But let me illustrate this, that men don't pray in time of a crisis a prepared prayer. They get down to business immediately when the crisis comes. A friend of mine who was in the ministry was a pastor in Somerville, Tennessee, for several years. He had a finger off, his index finger on his right hand was cut off. Nothing left there but just a stub. It is cut off below the first joint. And when anyone would ask him how he was called to the ministry or what his call was, he'd hold up that little stub of a finger and wiggle it. And naturally, people would ask him, well, what do you mean by that? And he'd tell them this story. He said, when I was a boy, my father was an officer in the church, and an evangelist came to the church to hold meetings. Well, he said the first night that he preached, my dad made me sit on the front row. And I want to tell you, he says, the preacher made that seat very hot for me because I knew he was talking at me, although he didn't know that he was. And he said, I was made to go the second night, and he said, you know, I knew that if I stayed there, I would not only accept Christ as my Savior, but I would also give my life to enter the ministry, because he said, I had a feeling that that would be my call. So he said that night, after everybody went to bed, he said, I got my extra shirt and my pajamas, and I went down the drain pipe, because he slept upstairs, and he said, I ran off down to Mississippi. And I got a job in a sawmill. And I do not know whether many of you folk acquainted with the old-time sawmill where you took a great hook, and you would roll the logs over on the carriage, and that carriage would take the log that was rolled on down to the big saw that was there and would rip that log right down through the middle, or however they wanted to rip it. And he said that his job was to roll those logs on. And he said, after he worked there for a few weeks, well, he was working one afternoon and they ran out of logs. So the foreman got some old logs that they had had there, had not run them through because some of them, for one reason or another, they rejected. And he said there was one log that had been ripped about halfway. And for some reason, they hadn't finished it, and they just pulled it back out. He says, when I rolled that log over on the carriage that carried it into the bandsaw, that place where it had been ripped opened up. And he says, when it did, my finger, my index finger on my right hand got caught in it. And I felt myself being pulled along that carriage toward that big bandsaw. And he said, you know, I began to yell at the top of my voice. But he says, by the time I started yelling, the other end of the log had hit the saw, and it was already going through. And if you've ever been around a sawmill, you know that makes a terrible racket. Nobody could hear him. And he was just yelling at the top of his voice and frightened, and found himself being pulled against his will right into that saw. And the thing that happened, it said it took about 45 seconds for him to get to the saw. He said what happened was, when he got there, of course, the finger was way out in front, caught in this place between where it had been sawed, and it had clamped down tight on it. And he says, when my finger hit the saw, it cut my finger off. But he says it released me, and I rolled to the side and didn't have to go through. Now he said, in that 45 seconds, for he says that's all it took for a log to go through, he says, in that 45 seconds, I prayed to the Lord. He said, I accepted Christ as my Savior. I promised him I'd go into the ministry and do his will. And he said, I told him a lot of other things. He said, you know, I told him more in 45 seconds at that time than I've ever told him in an hour's prayer since then. And may I say to you, he prayed that prayer immediately when the crisis came, because that's when I pray, that's when you pray. You don't wait in time of an emergency. I know on a plane, when we got in unusually rough weather, and I don't even like it in good weather, and this rough weather was terrific. The minute that that plane began to drop, or did drop, it seemed to me like it wasn't going to quit dropping, I began to pray. I didn't say, well, I'm going to wait until we're off of the plane, and I'm going to wait till we get out of this storm at least to pray. I began right there and then, and I'm sure you do, and I'm almost sure that Jonah did. So Jonah prayed this prayer as he went down from the mouth of the fish through the esophagus, and by the time he said kaplunk, when he dropped into the fish's tummy, this man Jonah had already completed his prayer, and he'd said amen. And I think he prayed a great deal more than's recorded here. I think we have the abridged edition of it.